So, what's trending? Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio.
Welcome to our weekly happy hour. I just had a panic moment. Where are my notes? Starting the show, my notes, I thought they weren't in front of me. Here they are. My dad has actually said before, he goes, how do you do the radio show? I mean, you just talk and talk and talk. And he's like, I mean, you've got to have stuff in front of you. I said, oh, yes, I have copious notes. So you can imagine my moment of panic when I didn't know where my notes were, but I found them. And luckily, they were within arm's reach. Welcome to our weekly happy hour here on Trending. Joining me in just a little bit will be Jim O'Day, the Executive Director of Integrity Restored, and we're going to talk about everything from mental health in relationships, especially in light of the quarantine that a lot of people have experienced, joblessness, and all the challenges that the last year has brought, but also the Gabby Petito story and Brian Laundrie story. It brings up an important question surrounding mental health in relationships. Also, this was a great Instagram request. If you haven't figured out, let me know. The request was, can you talk during your marriage hour about in-law relationships? Okay, my husband is one boy with four sisters. He says his life growing up was one giant period. In other words, it's going to be a great conversation. Join us in just a little bit. We're going to talk about in-law relationships and what we can be taught from the Catholic Church about loving our family members as we grow in our families. So stay tuned. If you have this figured out, if you have tips for in-laws, especially for newlyweds, the number is 1-888-914-9149. You're joining us during our weekly happy hour. I want to unpack a story that I was going to discuss yesterday, and that is Nick Cannon. And by the way, coming up, we're going to be sharing some chilling information about the pornography industry, but more so people who have looked at porn. Maybe you've looked at pornography. Maybe you haven't looked at child pornography before, but it's going to be a conversation that will help us kind of better understand where people are at and what's happening with child pornography and the importance of protecting kids, as well as helping people to heal. If you've struggled with a pornography addiction, if you've looked at porn, if you're looking at porn that you wish you weren't looking at, this is a conversation for you. There is hope, there is healing. And if you have been hurt by a loved one who's been engaging with this material, know that there are resources for you and we will be discussing them. But let's kick into our marriage hour. You're listening to Trending with Timory here on Relevant Radio. I'm Timory. Okay, Nick Cannon, the rapper, comedian, actor, you may or may not have heard his content before. Well, fascinating story recently came out, and that is Nick Cannon's therapist recommended that Nick Cannon be celibate moving forward. His fifth, sixth, and seventh child were born this year, all within the month of June. Only two of them were twins, and they came from two different women. Now, if you don't know a lot of the story, Nick Cannon was married to Mariah Carey. They're divorced. They have a nine-year-old. They have nine-year-old twins together. And by the way, I know I am like criticizing these names. Can we just go down the list of the names of Nick Cannon's kids for a second? I wasn't sure what I was reading in the article because I was confused by the names. Maroon, Monroe, Powerful, Golden, Zen, Zion, Zillion, and I think I missed one of them because there are seven. These are some unique names. Anyways, I'm just saying. Okay, so he has twins with Mariah Carey. Then with his ex, Brittany Bell, he has a four-month-old and a four-year-old, Powerful and Golden. And then he has another three children from, I think, two other women. I know singer Abby De La Rosa is one of them. And I think that's who he has the twin boys with. Yeah, he has the twin boys. I think Zen and Zion or Zen and Zillion. There's a Zen, Zion, and Zillion. Anyways, those kids are about 4 to 6 months as well. Okay, so here's the deal. He has seven children from three or four different women. And his therapist, for the sake of his mental health, has advised that he be celibate moving forward. Now, Nick Cannon does not sound like he's intending this in any way. In fact, when he himself was the one who shared that his his therapist recommended he be celibate, he actually shared that he grew up in a large family, an unconventional family. He was raised by his grandparents, and he said he too wants to have a large family. He loves children. And then he went on to say this statement. The ones who got pregnant, that is the women, he says the ones who got pregnant were the ones who were supposed to get pregnant. I'm sorry, what? Come again. The ones who got pregnant were the ones who were supposed to get pregnant. And it just sounds like he's lining up women like cattle. That line surprised me. And I do have some favorable opinions about Nick Cannon. I'll get to in just a moment. Did you know that he actually has a pro-life story? He has a song about it. But let's come to that statement. The ones who got pregnant were the ones who were supposed to get pregnant. This is what Nick Cannon said about now having 7 children from multiple women, 3 or 4 different women, one of whom including ex-wife Mariah Carey, singer Abby De La Rosa. And Abby De La Rosa, when she ended up becoming pregnant, she wrote all over social media about how this was a miracle, a gift from God. She was so grateful. And I thought that was really significant. This woman who so deeply and intensely wanted to have a child, apparently. Now, I wouldn't recommend looking at her Instagram. It is shocking to see photos between baby photos and photos that no mother should be dressing that way and posting in the same social media feed. But here's what stood out. One is that Abby De La Rosa may have been another one of those women who so desperately wanted to have a child. So desperately wanted to have a child. And she was willing to have a child in or out of marriage, whether or not he stuck around. Now, Grant, Nick Cannon loves kids. I think he's going to try to be in his kid's life. But I mean, when you're not married to the mom, we're going to touch on that in a moment. And there are so many problems. We're not doing kids justice. So I think that there's one side where women could be using this man's love for children, the fact that he's pro-life and not going to pressure an abortion, or so it would seem, to have children because they so desperately want to have kids. And to know that they're also having a child with someone, even if he doesn't stick around, who has the money. So he'll help provide for them and that child. Not every woman benefits from that. Not every woman can have a kid with a rich man and have a kid because she so desperately wants to have one, but know that they'll be provided for because he's well off. You see, the opposite is happening in our culture. A lot of women desperately do want children. They're willing to have kids with men they know will not stick around because they're at a point in their life where they just want to have a child. Then there's the other side of it where Nick Cannon said the ones who got pregnant were the ones who were supposed to get pregnant. In other words, contraception, this mindset of control, is part of what's supported a culture of children being wanted versus unwanted. Now, Nick Cannon being more on the pro-life side and loving kids, he wanted his children, whether or not they were within the context of marriage. And according to him, all of them were intentionally planned. But you see, this culture of contraception, this culture of wanted children or intended pregnancies, is what leads to a culture that supports abortion. I'll get up to that more in just a moment. But here's a part of the bigger story, because you should really know the full context. You see, Nick Cannon, the rapper, comedian, actor, Nick Cannon is what happens when you're pro-life without chastity and marriage. I'll say it again. Nick Cannon is what happens when you're pro-life without chastity and without marriage. So here's where the story gets really fascinating. He wrote and produced a pro-life song, his own song. It's called Can I Live? It came out, I think, about 16 years ago, back in 2005, mid-2000s. And it's a story, a true story, about his own mom leaving the abortion clinic operating table when she was about to have an abortion with him. Listen to a little bit of the song here. When I'm moving your womb, that's me being scary. Cause who knows what my future holds. Yo, the truth be told, you ain't told a soul. Yo, you ain't even showing, I'm just 2 months old. Do your clothes try to hide me, deny me. Win up 3 sizes, your pride got you lying. Seeing ain't nothing but a migraine. It ain't surprising, you not trying to be in Wick Food lines. Your friends will look at you funny, but look at you, mommy.
That's the life inside. Take a look at your tummy. What is becoming, mom? Oprah bound. You can tell he a star from the ultrasound. Ah, spirits connect, the doors open now. Nothing but love and respect. Thanks for holding me down. She let me live.
I'll always be a part of you. Trust your soul.
A powerful, powerful song by rapper, comedian, actor Nick Gannon about his own mother's story of leaving the abortion clinic, leaving the operating table, rejecting the abortion of Nick Gannon himself. So this is what's fascinating. Here this man is who's incredibly pro-life. Yes, you can say, you know what, he didn't have abortions. He has 7 children, multiple women. He loves kids. He said that all of these pregnancies were intended. But here's the reality. I said this a moment ago. Nick Cannon is what happens when you're pro-life without chastity and without marriage. In other words, when you don't live a pro-life lifestyle. You see, the abortion culture has depleted motherhood and fatherhood. Not just the abortions that have occurred that have left parents childless or one child fewer. But it's also a culture of no obligation between the parents of a given child. You see, parents, mother and father, husband and wife, they help set expectations for one another. They provide unconditional support and love for one another. You see, when there's no marriage, it makes a dimension of that relationship, that calling to be a good parent, to be a rested parent, to be a co-parent, which is what's supposed to happen within marriage. I'm so tired of hearing the words, quote, co-parent. Yeah, it's called marriage. That's what it's supposed to be. And that's the best thing for a kid and for you as a spouse. You see, having no marriage makes for empty, immature, and exhausted women trying without an important level of masculine complementarity and accountability or support to live out a vocation of motherhood. Why do I say this? Well, I've worked, if you don't know a little bit of my past, I worked for 5 years as the director of education outreach for a crisis pregnancy center and worked with countless crisis pregnancy centers throughout Southern California. I've been in front of the abortion clinic, sidewalk counseling, pray regularly in front of the abortion clinic, and just getting back out there again finally after having the baby. I hope you will too during this current 40 Days for Life. You can sign up at online for a 40 Days for Life campaign near you at 40daysforlife.com. That's the number 40. So I've seen so many women who have been pregnant, facing crisis pregnancy situations. And with all of this, I've seen, yes, women who, in the face of discovering they're pregnant and choosing life, they fought to be single mothers because of choices they've made and the father made as well. It's not the ideal. They're exhausted. They end up often being immature mothers, even though they've had to step up and mature in certain ways to take care of a child by themselves. And I think of that when I look at the story of singer Abby De La Rosa, who just this year had twins with Nick Cannon. And by the way, he had another child with a different woman in the same month. What's the big deal here? Well, here Abby De La Rosa is posting on social media, and I was looking through her Instagram account, and there are these adorable photos of her kid. There are adorable photos of her parents with her kid. And then there are these photos of her, and I'm going, oh my goodness, no woman should be dressed like that, yet alone a mother of two babies. And what stood out to me is this woman is empty. She's looking for more. She's immature in what she's posting. I'm sure she's probably exhausted doing the single mother thing on her own, even though she has the financial support that other single moms don't because her baby daddy's Nick Cannon. But you see, when we don't have the complementarity of marriage, of a spouse, of accountability, of support, financial support, physical protection, we tend to become, as men and as women, immature, empty, looking for something, exhausted. So bring this back to Nick Cannon saying that his therapist has actually recommended that Nick Cannon be celibate now after welcoming his 7th child, 3 of them this year. I think that's a legitimate statement. Yeah. You should be celibate. You should only be with women you're married to. Because fatherhood is a great thing. It's not, the problem isn't that he has 7 children. Grant, 7 children is a lot, and that can be challenging and have its tolls on mental health. But the bigger issue is that this man is not in a committed married relationship to protect and preserve the women who are the mothers of his children. That's got to be incredibly stressful, especially 3 kids in 1 year with 2 different women. We need, as human beings, commitment and consistency as spouses, as parents, and especially for our kids. You see, Nick Cannon is pro-life, but he's supporting a culture by his lifestyle that isn't pro-life. Because while he may choose to keep his babies, and while he may be able to have multiple children and financially support all of them and all the different mothers, the culture who tries to do that and imitate what Nick Cannon's doing, they can't do that. They're the ones who end up having abortions. They're the ones who end up in poverty. There are people who are struggling in domestic abuse and violent situations trying to hook up with a man who's willing in some way to try and take care of their kid because they're a single parent and they want someone to try and help raise their kid. And so Nick Cannon's story and his therapist recommending that he be celibate after the 7th kid, there's a legitimacy behind this, and it surrounds the issue of abortion and being pro-life. I hope that Nick Cannon continues to be pro-life. I hope he continues to keep any babies that are born. But I hope he starts to reevaluate his lifestyle and how his lifestyle is setting an example for a culture that is not pro-life, even though he is. You're listening to Trending with Timmer here on Relevant Radio. We're coming back in just a moment with Jim O'Day. He's the executive director of Integrity Restored. We're going to talk about mental health and relationships. We're also going to unpack protecting children in light of the current culture surrounding pornography. If you're struggling with a pornography addiction, if you looked at child pornography, there's information for you here. I hope that you will listen and stay with us. We have resources. We'll be right back. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio Line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester.
Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timmery on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Welcome back to our weekly Marriage Hour here on Trending. If you've not joined us before, we talk everything from dating, relationships, and the end goal of marriage. We love to hear from you. If you'd like to join the conversation, the number is 1-888-914-9149. Joining me now is Jim O'Day, the Executive Director of Integrity Restored. And we're going to unpack in a little bit, and a little ears warning for a topic that we'll be discussing a little later, talking about pornography and child pornography. Maybe you yourself have looked at pornography, maybe even child pornography, and you want to change things. There's staggering information coming out of Finland. And it's important that we discuss this, especially during our marriage hour, because this is impacting families, children, spouses. But we have solutions. There is hope. So if this is you or your loved one who struggled with this, know that we're here. And coming up, we're going to talk about in-law relationships during our marriage hour. Really fascinating conversation. It'll be a fun one, to say the least. And maybe you have a token of wisdom for us. Number's 1-888-914-9149. Before we go there, I want to talk about mental health in relationships. The Gabby Petito story and Brian Laundrie story, the homicide of Gabby Petito after living the van life this summer with her high school sweetheart and boyfriend, fiance, Brian Laundrie, is one that has shocked and overwhelmed the nation. Many people are either obsessed with following every detail, which I think at a certain point is really sick, and I talked about it earlier in the week. If you'd like to listen to that, we'll post a link to that in the show notes. But some things that stood out that a lot of people have been discussing is that mental health can really weigh on a relationship. And maybe this is part of what happened, obviously, with Gabby Petito and Brian Laundrie, who Brian goes home, doesn't report her missing, and then Like a week, 10 days later, she's reported missing. He had come home without her. He won't show the last time he saw her. And now he's been missing, I think, like in the woods for a couple of weeks. He took off. So there's been this manhunt for Brian Laundrie. So I want to talk about mental health and relationships because it is something that is real. It's important we discuss. It's important that we're open, whether in dating relationships or marriage. So joining me now is Jim O'Day, the Executive Director of Integrity Restored, who helps people struggling with pornography addiction, which we'll touch on that more in a little bit. But I want to talk big picture, Jim, about this challenge today that so many couples are facing prior to marriage, before even thinking about marriage, or even years into marriage surrounding mental health.
Yeah, it seems to be a bigger problem than we've ever seen before. You know, there's interesting, you talked about the people like obsessing with this story and following every bit. That hasn't been me. I've followed the story a little bit here and there, but the one thing I came away with that I thought was very interesting, Timmery, was this appeared to be a volatile relationship. The police were with them, in Utah. They got reported that there's the domestic incident outside, a white man, a man hitting a woman, and the cops showed up, and Gabby was really, you know, very, very upset and crying and inconsolable. And she kept saying, well, you know, I lose my temper because of my OCD. That's what she kept telling the police. And the witness said, no, he didn't hit her. He pushed her. She was hitting him. And so it seems to me to be a very volatile relationship. And I think one of the things we have to understand is that God built us as social creatures. We want to live in this cohesion, community, relationship with others. And when it's healthy, there's great benefits to that. Your psychological health, your emotional health, lower instances of depression and anxiety, more motivation and emotional support during tough times, less loneliness. These are all scientific statistics that we can prove in good relationships. But in volatile relationships, the opposite is true.
Yeah, I mean, isn't that important to recognize? Because, you know, you even may not be struggling with physical abuse in your relationship, but there might be volatile anger issues where just you become really heated and that to go on and build for weeks, months, years. And it becomes a point where it's a bigger issue for the relationship. It's a bigger issue for how this is impacting kids, your spouse. I even think, Jim, about this last, you know, year that we've had a baby, we've lived in the midst of kind of the insanity of the world surrounding COVID, and then, you know, we moved unexpectedly. My husband got a job offer right after our baby was born, and there were a lot of challenging moments surrounding the move and then moving to a place where, you know, I knew next to no one. And that was really hard. And I think that there were a lot of moments where I had to recognize the importance of having good, strong conversations about where I was at as I was struggling. And for some reason, though, our culture, we don't know how to talk about things. And when we do, we don't know how to get to the crux of the problem or to move beyond it. We tend to just dwell in the issue itself. And I think that that's part of what's sad about the Gabby Petito Brian Laundrie story is that here, you know, cops end up, you know, addressing a situation where the two of them are reported. How is the situation resolved? I mean, this has to be so difficult for police in domestic abuse cases where there's some sort of violence or abuse occurring in the relationship because they know that this isn't just a one-time deal usually. They know, you know, I can either pick up this young couple, and it sounds like they decide to be merciful to this young couple, you know, really kind of try to punish them in a sense to kind of knock them straight, or you can not and try to leave their record clean. And it makes for really complicated situations. So I guess part of the question is you work a lot with people in everything from pornography addiction, physical harm occurring, and abuse within relationships. Where's the middle ground for us people who maybe aren't at the point of physical abuse, but there's a struggle surrounding mental health in the relationship.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that we have to do is be honest, right? With ourselves, with our families, with our circle of influence. And we have to recognize that there could be potential deal breakers in the relationship, Timmery. And my guess is, with this Gabby Petito story and with the cops showing up, what the cops did, I thought made sense. Nobody had any marks on them. They made laundry go and stay in a hotel. She decided to stay in the van. So they separated them for the night, kind of a cooling down period. But my gut instinct tells me this is not the first time.
Right.
Out of the blue like that, right? They've been dating since high school. So what were the signs of this volatility from either one? I don't know who was struggling more. But, you know, there might be deal breakers where you really shouldn't stay in a relationship. I'm thinking of things like bipolar disorder, schizophrenia, addictions. Don't think marrying somebody, you're going to cure them of their addiction, whether that's drugs, alcohol, pornography, gambling. You're not. Narcissistic personality disorder. These things are all, we really should look at them and say, you know, this is not an equally yoked relationship. This is not a healthy relationship. And don't continue down that path. I, my heart breaks that this young lady is no longer with us, and I feel so bad for her parents. But I just question, how long has this been going on?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that we should have a zero tolerance for any type of abuse. I think that's so important for us to be holding the line. It was interesting. My mom sent a group text message to my sisters and I, and she sent a photo of four couples. One included Scott and Lacey Peterson, if you remember the story. Mm-hmm. Scott and Lacey Peterson, he killed his wife and he buried her, I think, I'm not sure if it was in a lake or in the ocean, long story short.
In the lake.
Yeah, in the lake. Then you have Gabby Petito and her high school sweetheart. You have OJ Simpson. You have all these other stories and these four couples that are in this photo, and they look like happy, lovely couples, mm-hmm. the sweetest, cutest photos of these four couples. But I think that that's really important for us to understand. We can't make excuses for harmful behavior just because we, quote, love someone or because we want to attempt unconditional love or forgiveness. Unconditional love and forgiveness doesn't mean there aren't boundaries.
Correct. I think that's the really important thing. And so many women that we deal with here, Integrity Restored, whether it's pornography addiction, they're suffering from betrayal trauma, or actually their spouse is acting out sexually or abusing them sexually. The one thing you hear all the time is, well, God calls us to unconditional love. Yes, but he also doesn't say marriage is unconditional suffering.
Right. And I'll mention this. I just want to mention this again for just a moment. You know, if you're not married to it, it's very important to realize, and I mentioned this earlier in the show, when you're engaging with someone in sexual intimacy, you're creating a chemical cocktail in your brain. The serotonin, the norepinephrine, the dopamine, the oxytocin, the endorphins, you're putting on, and I talked about this earlier in the week, so be sure to catch the episode on Gabby Petito. You can subscribe on relevantradio.com/trending, where I discuss, like, you have these love goggles on from the chemicals raging in your head that lead you to make excuses and stay in unhealthy relationships. And it's important that we're just mentioning that as we continue on in this conversation.
Absolutely. And you know, your listeners, if you're a wife who has been suffering silently with betrayal trauma because of your spouses, your boyfriend, infidelity by using pornography or acting out, we have a virtual retreat coming up, Timmery, called Hope Blooms. And we put together a special promotion code just for your listeners. It's TWT, the number 10, TWT10, will get them 10% off on their registration to the Hope Blooms virtual retreat.
Excellent. Thank you so much for that. That's TWT10. So that's trending, standing for Trending with Timory 10. That is a 10% discount to this upcoming Bloom for Catholic Women retreat. If you have experienced betrayal trauma within your own relationship, this is for you. We're going to post a link now on social media to sign up for this retreat that is occurring on October 22nd of this month. It's a virtual retreat. Again, $10 off of the retreat. This is hope for women who are finding themselves in these relationships who need healing. Don't stop. Why wait? Reach out for this healing now. Again, we'll post a link on social media. It'll be in the show notes, in the podcast notes for today's show as well. Jim, let's turn keys here, because as we're talking about this, I know some heavy topics today on trending. And don't worry, we're getting into a quote, much lighter topic in just a little bit, and that is in-law relationships. It was a great question that came through on social media saying, please talk about in-law relationships during your marriage hour. And by the way, if you are listening now and you have experienced any sort of domestic abuse, you can call a domestic abuse hotline now. The number is 800-799-SAFE. That's 800-799-SAFE. Safe is 7233. You can also visit thehotline.org. That's thehotline.org. We'll post a link to that as well on social media now, so that you have access to that if you're in a relationship and you need help. Jim, I want to change gears here. There was a story that you recently sent me from The Guardian that absolutely floored me. And if you have little ones listening now, I think this is really a conversation to make sure. Maybe you listen on the podcast later. If you're not subscribed, you can do that at relevantradio.com. This is shocking. So we need to talk about protecting kids. Porn addiction, we know, is prevalent, not just outside of marriage, within marriage. Some couples are even watching it together today. But one thing that isn't talked about enough is child pornography and the growth that is occurring in the child pornography industry. Could you speak briefly to how child pornography is growing, and then share with us a little bit about this massive dark web study that was done in Finland?
Yeah, so, you know, that unfortunately child pornography has existed for a long time. But it was very, very difficult to obtain. The internet has done so many good things for society. It's done a lot of bad too. And this is one of the areas that has just fueled explosive growth of child pornography, which is horrible and disgusting. And it's because now it's so easy for people to obtain it, to come across it. And unfortunately, this study out of Finland, it found out that 70% of the respondents first saw child sexual abuse material when they were kids, under the age of 18.
Wow.
And 40% of them were under the age of 13 when they were exposed.
Can you repeat those two things one more time, just to be clear?
Yeah, sure. 70% of respondents to this survey first saw child sexual abuse material when they were under 18. 70%. And 40% saw it when they were under 13. So these are children seeing these images and being hypersexualized. And something I've been saying anecdotally, just from conversations with hundreds and hundreds of people, is that we are creating a society of child pornography producers with Snapchat and what these kids are doing with sexting, and child pornography consumers. Because just anecdotally, I knew that kids younger and younger were looking at child porn. And then they'll stop at a certain point, many of them, and they'll go through the normal continuum of pornography use, naked pictures, couples, violence, sometimes even homosexual porn, even if you're straight, and then go back to child porn because that is their earliest sexualization. That is when the brain said, wow, this was the coolest thing.
Wait a second. So by the way, just another warning, if I've done it before, but if you have kids, this is a conversation to listen to on the podcast later if they're around. So I just want to be clear with what you just said. You're saying that when a person has looked at pornography that was child pornography, it is the most shocking of all the types of pornography that they can look at. And so it tends to be what they revert back to. Is that what you're saying?
That is correct, because at some point in the addiction, like any addiction, if you're addicted to cocaine, you need more cocaine. If you're addicted to heroin, you need more heroin. Well, if you're addicted to pornography, you need more porn or harder porn. And so even if you shut that off, you're a 13-year-old kid, fast forward, you're now 33, you've been looking at porn every day, and now all the other types of porn are boring. They're not doing it for you.
You're not getting that dopamine hit.
You're not getting the hit. Exactly right, Timmy. And you're going to go back to find what is going to feed that demon. What is going to feed that need for that dopamine, for those brain chemicals.
Someone listening right now saying, no, that's too far. I don't believe you. I don't want to believe it. And people have probably shut off this conversation because it's so shocking. They think we're just being extreme. These are the studies. This is the information that's been out there. The fastest area of pornography growing is actually child pornography. It is absolutely horrific. And it's important that we know and understand this. One of the things that shocked me that came out from the study, and we'll actually have to post a link on social media now to this study. I think it's important for people to see. In the important thing, one of the things that stood out to me, Jim, is that when the respondents were asked, and by the way, how was this information gathered? Well, this organization actually decided to go onto the dark web and to where people search out their pornography. The organizations Protect Children out of Finland, and they used hackers and various people working on the dark web in order to make this survey accessible where people would otherwise be looking for child pornography content. And instead, they came across the survey and they were very telling. In fact, the organization was shocked that 8 months later, people are still responding, and they've gathered over 10,000 responses to this. In fact, one of the creators of the survey who's been involved from Protect Children has commented saying that as they're seeing this continue to go on, that after 8 months, people are still answering. And Anne Ovaska, the legal specialist for Protect Children, said, "We realize people need to talk and that the survey itself was working as an intervention for people." So in other words, people want to stop. But Jim, one of the things in here that I think is important to mention is that when asked what sort of material they were seeking out, 45, almost 50% of the respondents said that they were looking for girls between the age of 4 years old and 13. That was shocking. What does that say, and how can we protect our girls with this in mind?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, one of the first things I would tell parents to do, if your child, and you know, we're on Instagram, you and I, Timmery, and I see videos up there that parents are putting up of their little girls in these scantily clad little outfits dancing. Why would you do that to your child? You're teaching her that her value is in how she looks. So I would say your kids don't need Snapchat. Your kids don't need Instagram. Your kids don't need to take their phone into the bedroom. And then the other thing is we have to stop fooling ourselves that child sexual abuse, child sexual trafficking is something that happens to these poor kids from other countries. It's not true. It's happening in our neighborhoods, in our good neighborhoods, in our Catholic schools, in our good communities. This is happening. And so, you know, stop hiding from it and pay attention to it. And I wish that I just had on my podcast a young woman, Kiki Rocha. She was trafficked in her family as a child.
Oh, my gosh.
And, yeah, I mean, you know, this stuff is happening, and we have to be aware. And I know it's a nasty topic, and it's a dark, horrible subject, but we got to shine light on it. That's the only way we're going to stop it.
We're sharing this information because it's important that we know, it's important that we understand. And again, if you're shocked by it, you probably don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear this, but it's important that we're discussing it. And one thing that kind of just is a wake-up call, in the UK alone, about 850 people, nearly all men, are arrested every month for offenses linked to online child abuse. That is child pornography. So it's very important that we understand that this is kind of that dirty secret that the media is not talking about. Why? Because people hear this, and like yourself and like myself, I don't want to hear it. I want to turn it off. It's so upsetting. But it emphasizes the reality of strong technology control. It emphasizes the reality your kids don't need a phone at 12, 13, 14, or even 15 years old. Trust me, we see firsthand these kids are struggling with sexting, with the images they're sending, receiving, asking for, and researching. Parents, you have control. Change the course of your kids' future. Change the course of their chastity, because there is this out of control movement out there that is out there for your kids, and we need to be the primary protectors and role models for our children. That's Jim O'Day from Integrity Restored. You can find him at integrityrestored.com. He's helping people who are struggling with addiction, who want to get out. Jim, what message of hope is there for someone who's looking at pornography, maybe even child pornography? What can they do? Where should they go?
Well, first thing I would say is reach out for help. That's the first thing. And there's so much shame and guilt around pornography addiction, especially child porn addiction. But reach out for help. Your addiction is really healable. It's curable. All these online addictions are. And so reach out to somebody for help. And we at Integrity Restored, visit our site, integrityrestored.com. We have a ton of information up there, links how to find the right therapist, and get help. Don't hide anymore. Reach out.
That's integrityrestored.com. We'll post links on social media in the podcast for today. If you are struggling, don't give up. There is hope. There is healing. Our faith, therapists, programs, we are here to provide that information, and know that we are praying for you. I'll be right back. It's our marriage hour. We'll talk about in-law relationships.
Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Where has the time gone? We're just going to have a marriage hour 2.0 tomorrow, because I really want to talk about in-law relationships. I think that this is a great question. I was sent it on Instagram, and I was laughing because, of course, the question's brought up, and my in-laws are in town this weekend. It's been such a joy to have them here playing and visiting already with our baby girl. It's a gift to have family coming and visiting us, and I want to unpack this more. There's actually a lot I have to say to look to the Catholic perspective and starting to work through some legitimate challenges within family dynamics, different families, marrying into families. And a lot of people say, well, I chose my spouse, but I didn't choose their family. Or people say, well, they did this, they did that. You know, there's so many things to work through, and just a piece of wisdom, I think, to lead us into, and we'll have a longer conversation tomorrow about in-law relationships, but two pieces of wisdom to kind of leave you with today. First of all, we have to remember that marriage is a covenant. It's not just a contract. You know, if you think of a contract, for example, a contract for a house, we can negotiate something to do with having floors replaced. We can decrease the price of the house because there was mold damage and we want to get rid of the mold and gut parts of the house. We might decide that we don't like the furniture, or we do like the furniture and we want to pay extra for the furniture and we want all the furniture to be left intact. But the reality is that marriage is a covenant. It's not a contract the way that contract for buying a house is. We can't pick and choose what we get and what we don't want. And I think that's important within the context of understanding marriage. Marriage is a covenant, and a covenant is an exchange of persons. It's a total giving of self. It's covenants make family. So that means when you marry your spouse, you're making family, a new family with your spouse. It does need to stand independent, but that family is also within the context of a larger family as well. And so with that, it's important to understand that if marriage is a covenant, covenants make family. Covenants are an exchange of person. It's also important to recognize that marriage is a vocation. Now, I don't think God would have made marriage permanent till death. I don't think God would have made it an important thing that we're supposed to be faithful within marriage. I don't think God would have made marriages last more than 1 month or even a couple days if it weren't for the fact that it was a vocation to sanctity. It's a path of us in cooperation with God, working out our salvation. And part of that is navigating in-law relationships together with your spouse, collaborating, communicating. All of these, I think, are really important things as we're looking at in-law relationships. So we're going to unpack this more tomorrow on the show. It'll be our Marriage Hour 2.0. It'll be a great conversation. I jest and joke. My husband is one boy with four sisters. So there's, you know, I get it. There are challenges, but there are also so many joys. You know, some people will look and be like, oh man, you come from this type of family or you come from that type of family. That's got to be really hard. You know, and it's so fascinating to me because we miss the bigger picture. And we miss the opportunity that these are opportunities to grow, to love, and there's so much room for improvement. And if you have it all figured out, let me know. We'll talk about that tomorrow here on the show. I want to invite you to join me, though, along with the nation, in an incredible, incredible invitation. And that is, the month of October is the month of the Rosary. And we here at Relevant Radio with EWTN and the Napa Institute and other organizations jumping on board are encouraging you to join us in praying a rosary every single day for life, to pray a rosary for an end to abortion, to pray a rosary to encourage and support for those moms who are struggling in crisis pregnancy, considering not keeping their children. Join us in the month of the Rosary, interceding with Our Lady for those people, for this Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Supreme Court case, that through the power of prayer for Supreme Court justices, for the nation, that we will see Roe versus Wade overturned. That this coming spring, late in the spring, that we'll hear that Roe versus Wade, Doe versus Bolton, Planned Parenthood versus Casey, the three major pro-abortion cases that are completely unconstitutional, bad law, and not based in science or medical sciences, will be overturned. This could happen in our lifetime. But even if they weren't overturned, every prayer, every intercession, lives are saved and changed, and we need to be willing to do something. And so remember, join us in this daily Rosary for Life. You can join the Family Rosary across America every night here on Relevant Radio after trending. Remember, it's 40 Days for Life. You can join your local 40 Days for Life campaign of praying and fasting for an end to abortion. Fast. It's easy to give 15 minutes a day. 15 minutes to pray the Rosary, maybe an hour a week to participate in 40 Days for Life. Remember, tomorrow we're kicking off our 6-week challenge of going no technology as best as possible, deleting the apps, getting rid of the TV shows, getting rid of the movies. Why? So that we can grow in virtue, grow in prayer, get more rest, pray the Rosary in the month of October. So kicking off tomorrow with the Rosary Challenge and our 6-week challenge to decrease technology. This is Tim Ray from Trending with Tim Ray. Friday, joining me is Sister Tina Alfieri. She is a hermit nun as well as a certified addiction therapist and recovery coach for addictive disorders. We may not have addictions, but we'll at least discuss bad habits, addictions, and behavior modification so we can grow in virtue, get more sleep, eat better, and grow our prayer lives. Join me daily at 6 p.m. Central on Relevant Radio or the Relevant Radio app.